Welcome to today's edition of the Exploring Mining Podcast, featuring stock news from TSX, TSXV, CSE, ASX, NASDAQ, and New York Stock Exchange mining companies, plus interviews with CEOs and leading experts.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us again on the Exploring Mining Podcast, featuring an exclusive interview with Greg Beischer, President and CEO of Alaska Energy's Metal Corp. In this interview, we start the conversation off talking about what it takes to be a success in Alaska and the Nikolai Project. Greg talks about 2023 drill results and plans for drilling this summer. We speak about the team in place, which personally is why Alaska Energy Metals is a favorite of mine, and some of the exciting strategic investments happening in the nickel space to kick off 2024. Alaska Energy Metals trades under the symbol AEMC on the TSX Venture. For disclosure purposes, Alaska Energy Metals is a featured paid-for client on Investor Ideas, and this podcast may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are reminded to do their own due diligence. Enjoy the show. Greg, welcome to the show. For listeners that are new to Alaska Energy Metals story, can you give us a brief background on how you started the company and your history in Alaska?
Sure thing, Kelly. Yep. Glad to talk to you. The company's only about 9 months old at this point, but I actually personally have a long history with the Nikolai Nickel Project in Alaska that we're working on. My first career was with ENCO as a geologist, and they moved me to Alaska to explore this exact same spot back in the mid-1990s. And so that's when I started working on the project. In fact, my team discovered nickel at Nikolai. It wasn't really known there before. We worked hard on it for 5 years. We didn't find the rich, massive sulfide deposits we sought, but I did drill into hundreds of meters of disseminated nickel sulfides, which at the time wasn't going to be economic. Times are different for nickel now. It's going to be in such huge demand. And I know that the deposit that we're drilling off will be very valuable.
I'm told that the only way to succeed in Alaska is to be either an Alaskan or know Alaska very, very well. So that obviously speaks very well to your team. Can you just give a little bit of a brief history of the team that you have together and some of the locals that you use and experience and knowledge in Alaska?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think Alaskans are resourceful, independent people generally. That comes, you know, from the climate. It's an adventurous place for sure. And I myself really liked it right from the beginning. First with ENCO, and then I spent time with the Bristol Bay Native Corporation helping them develop mineral resources. But 18 years ago, I started a venture exchange company called Millrock Resources, and we operated for, 17 years as a junior pure exploration company. Projects all over the state, forming joint ventures with major companies and other junior companies to finance the work. And we made money for people several times during that history. But when the Nikolai Nickel Project came along, we decided to change our model, change the name of the company to Alaska Energy Metals just last April. So the team that we built, the core group, has stayed together that entire time. And so we really know the state well. We know how to operate very efficiently with our shareholders' money. It's the most advancement for every dollar that they trust us with.
Can you just give us a little bit of the overview of where the Nikolai project is and your access to roadways?
Sure thing, yeah. It's in a really good spot, actually. It's kind of out of the way, really close to any people, but yet not far from roads and railway and power lines and the things that we'll need ultimately to build a mine, if it proves feasible to do that. It's just south of Fairbanks by a couple hours drive on a paved highway. The closest town is Delta Junction, perhaps an hour's drive to the north. I live in Anchorage, Alaska, and it's roughly a 6-hour drive on a nice paved highway from my place to the project.
So you've achieved in a very short time some great milestones very quickly with Alaska Energy. Can you talk to us about the cash that you've raised? I mean, especially in this market, it's been one of the toughest years, 2023, to raise capital for junior miners. I think if I have it correct, you raised about $15 million. Just talk about your use of proceeds and then the capital structure for Alaska Energy.
You bet. Yeah, I think we've made fantastic progress as a company in just 8 or 9 months. We started the company, we recapitalized to the credit of the group in Vancouver that helped. They really put me in front of the right people at the bigger Canadian brokerages. Ultimately, we raised over $12 million in what I would consider, you know, a really bad equity market for mining venture capital. And so I think that speaks to the capital markets team that we have, to the management of the company, but also to the project. I mean, there is money available for the right project and the right groups of people. So I'm happy, though, that we were able to raise that capital. We put it to really good use. We mounted a drill program over the summer. Will allow us to publish an updated resource. We've already made the first announcement, the maiden resource, if you will, based on historical drill holes. That resource amounted to over 1.5 billion pounds of nickel in the ground. That's, you know, close to 700,000 metric tons of contained nickel metal with copper and cobalt and platinum and palladium to go with it. So, a lot of metal in the ground. The concentration of the metal is not really strong, but it's exceptionally continuous, probably over a 12-kilometer strike length. The deposit is thick, about 300 meters thick, comes right to surface, and would be, you know, potentially mineable by open pit methods. So 1.5 billion pounds so far, but we're about to add to that the results of the 8 holes that we drilled last summer. We've already got those assay results and published those through the fall. They were all just as expected. Like I say, it's a very homogeneous deposit. Wherever we drill through it, we get almost the same concentration of metal every time. We can drill at quite wide spacings, 300 meters, to build the resource. And so we'll soon announce this addition to the resource, which I suspect will at least double it. And then from there, with a big drilling program this summer, we're really going to build a large deposit of nickel.
Oh, that's very exciting, and you're making my job easy for me because I was just about to ask you about some of the technicals. Can you go a little more into the Eureka Zone, and then I know you have two maiden resources, and just give a little bit of an overview about what you saw last year in 2023, and can you mention a little about when you're planning your drill program for 2024?
So it was the Eureka Zone that I was talking about. And you mentioned that it's two deposits, and it is two deposits right now, but we fully expect to fill in between them. They're about 2 kilometers apart, but there's a number of sparsely spaced holes in between the deposits drilled back in the 2000s that hit the exact same thing as all the other holes. So we know that those two deposits very likely will join up with a little more drilling that we plan to do this summer. So, you know, we're going to come out of this summer likely with a deposit that's nearly 5 kilometers in length, 300 meters deep, and open in all directions, with probably, we're projecting this out, if that grade holds up, it's likely we would have a potential mineral deposit somewhere in the 5 to 7 billion pound nickel range. So it'll be a very sizable deposit in all likelihood by the end of this year with a pretty big drill program. We'll have to raise the money to do that. The plan is roughly 25 holes, 15,000 meters of drilling.
You also just previously announced your purchase of a large database of historical information. Can you talk to us about the significance of that update for going forward with your MRE and the significance for this year's drill program as well?
It was a real bargain. We paid about $1 million in cash for this historical database that included the work that my team at ENCO did in the late 1990s, but it also included millions and millions of dollars worth of exploration work that was done by subsequent explorers. Itochu, a big Japanese company, and Pure Nickel, a Toronto junior company, all did some really good work in the 2000s, and we've got all that information now. So that's a real shortcut for us. You know, all that expensive surface geological work, geochemical work, geophysical work, it's all done already. And so it's just a huge cost savings and a huge time savings. But we also got all the historical drill hole information, assay sheets and logs, and that did allow us in these two particular spots where the holes were closely spaced enough that we could calculate the maiden resources. So it was a great purchase. We're using all the information to great advantage to help us do two things. Trace and then delineate by future drilling what's likely quite a large mineralized deposit of nickel, but also the potential to find sort of the high-grade core to the mineralizing system, and that would be a real game-changer. So we're really using all layers of historical information to formulate our plans for this season and next.
Can you also just briefly chat to the listeners out there on your recent project add-on in Quebec as well? I think that came with $2.8 million in cash, if I'm correct, which is a fantastic bonus.
Yeah, that was kind of a no-brainer because of the cash. As it turns out, it was another project area with which I was familiar from my first career with ENCO. And I had been stationed in Quebec for a number of years. And this is an area, Western Quebec, that I had studied and researched, so I know a fair bit about it. And we had done some field work back in the early 90s, and there's some really intriguing things on the property. It's early stage yet. It'll be sort of a secondary project to our flagship, Nikolai in Alaska, but we'll start advancing that. We raised $1 million of flow-through financing late last year. So we'll do all some of the basic work that needs to be done, geophysical surveys and rock sampling and that sort of thing, and work up drilling targets for 2025. But yeah, love Quebec. It's a, you know, literally one of the best, if not the best, mining jurisdiction in the world. The government is very, very supportive in terms of rebates on exploration costs. Capital available to us through the flow-through system is makes for really inexpensive capital and therefore very efficient exploration. So really happy to be exploring in Quebec again too.
You get a lot done for a company that's just started out in the last year. It's very exciting to see. I just wanted to go back to the Nikolai project. For your Eureka zone with the 8 holes, and your drill program for 2024, building out from scale the whole 8 holes this year, do you have a few different ideas of what you're planning?
What we've discovered is that, again, it's such a the Eureka Zone is such a homogeneous deposit. It would be great to have a few sweet spots where the concentration of metals was higher, but so far we haven't found those. By the same token, there's no holes in the deposit either. It's just amazingly continuous in all directions. So that's a good thing. That's preferable than, you know, having the concentration come and go. We're fine with that, but it would be great to discover high grade. There's really two blocks to the Nikolai project, the Eureka block, but also the Canwell block, where we do have some really high grade, high concentration nickel, copper, and platinum group element mineralization sticking out of the ground right at surface. We've now, after last field season, really worked up the targets. We did a lot of geophysical work to help us sense below surface there. We've got some really strong conductive zones that tell us geologists that looks like there's metal in the ground below the places where the nickel mineralization is sticking right out of the ground. So we're very excited to drill some of those targets in the summer this year, 2024.
I wanted to chat about going a little wider on the scope about nickel. I think it's important for some of our listeners to maybe comprehend when investing and looking in the juniors in the nickel space. Can we talk about the year that was 2023 and kind of what you saw in the nickel market, especially, I mean, the U.S. For nickel and how many mines are in play, which is a very small amount, and why Alaska Energy Story is a big player in the market, especially after Indonesia's flooding into the market. I think perhaps some of the investors out there maybe don't know the difference between nickel laterite and nickel sulfide, and just the important issues to discuss on the environmental impact on that.
Yeah, so just overall consumption of nickel, by far the biggest use for nickel has been the manufacture of stainless steel. You alloy a little bit of nickel and chrome with iron, and you've got beautiful stainless steel that's used all over the world in so many different applications. But there's other uses for nickel, too. In fact, myriad uses, aerospace industry, just all kinds of things. But all of a sudden, there's a brand new use for nickel that's in rechargeable batteries. And whether it's in your phone, your computer, or your car, all those batteries contain nickel. But now that there's a proliferation of electric vehicles, now the consumption of nickel for that purpose is really increasing and projected to really increase strongly in the coming decade. Now, there's 29 kilos of nickel in every average passenger car electric vehicle battery. That's a huge new use. But beyond that, even now, world is starting to build long-term electrical storage batteries, grid-scale storage batteries to collect wind power, solar power, and keep it for when the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining. And, you know, it's just a huge amount of nickel that's going to get consumed in the future. So you would think that with all that projected demand for the metal, that the price would already be higher. But it's actually kind of soft right now. The reason is that Indonesia, which is already the biggest producer of nickel, is ramping up production, and there's plenty of nickel to go around right now. But there's a couple of problems with that. And one is that, unfortunately, the industry there is really tough on the environment. You know, the laterite nickel, as you mentioned, is different than the sulfide nickel that's mined, say, in Sudbury, Ontario, or at Voisey's Bay in Newfoundland, or Thompson, Manitoba, or other places like Kambalda in Australia, or Norilsk in Russia. Different style of nickel mineralization, but it's mined in Indonesia and other equatorial countries by, clear-cutting rainforest and then scraping away soil to get an enriched layer of soil at the bedrock interface. And, you know, they have to use a lot of power to separate that nickel from the enriched soil. And to do that, they're burning coal. So, you know, it really negates the point of all of us driving electric vehicles to save carbon from going into the atmosphere. by processing nickel that way. So, you know, I think that at this point, consumers and car manufacturers are starting to catch on. Like, you know, their environmental and social governance policies should not allow them to source nickel and other metals from countries that don't share our values, environmental protection and workers' rights and those sorts of things. I think that Indonesian production will either tail off or be rejected by North American and European consumers of nickel. It should be rejected because it really isn't done right. We see that change potentially coming. To me, it really is better in our own backyard, where we have excellent environmental regulation, where we have excellent environmental ethics and values as an industry, and we're very protective of human and workers' rights. And the other aspect to that is that, you know, the United States is really vulnerable, in my view. It's given up metal supply chains to non-free trade countries. They could get cut off. Those supplies could get cut off. It could disrupt in a serious way the transition or expansion to electrical energy. And it puts the country at risk. And so, to me, it would be much better if the United States expanded its metal mining industry, sourced these metals for electric storage at home, where you're sure that the supply is going to keep coming. You know, right now, the United States imports 100% of the nickel that it consumes, and it does consume a lot of nickel. Fortunately, good neighbor Canada provides about half of that metal. But, you know, Canada is consuming now a lot on its own. Battery plants are being built in Ontario and Quebec, and I'm not sure Canada can keep sending all the nickel that the United States is going to need. And to me, we're really, as a society, putting things backwards because, you know, the manufacturers of cars building battery plants all over North America, spending billions of dollars retooling their car manufacturing assembly lines to produce electric vehicles, yet they're not sure that they've got a steady stream of the raw materials to build these things. So I really feel that the country needs to develop domestic sources. Alaska generally is very well endowed with metals. It's got what we think on our particular project, a good source of nickel that would really help out. We're happy to be developing at home in the United States in Alaska.
I've obviously followed your story for a while, and I love the team. I love the whole story. But what's really been exciting is, as this kind of market has turned around in the beginning of 2024, is some of the news that's coming out in the nickel market, which I think, you know, validates the scalability of your company moving forward. That you know, even big companies like Samsung just invested $18 million into Canada Nickel. People out there say, oh, we're not so sure about low-grade nickel, and that scalability is moving forward. I think that really gives some credit where credit's due, that this project can do extremely well. Do you have any comments on new announcement and that exciting partnership moving forward, and what you see for, you know, companies like yours, of how that will affect hopefully this year?
Yes, I absolutely do have thoughts about that. Canada Nickel's done a great job. They've had a lot of naysayers along the way. People doubted whether the low-grade bulk tonnage, low-cost type of deposits would actually become mines. But like Canada Nickel said, and like I say, I think it's the next generation of nickel mining. It's just that high-grade nickel deposits of scale, of size, are just so hard to find. They're really rarities in the world. The last really major discovery was over 30 years ago at Voisey's Bay in Labrador, Newfoundland. You know, we've got, if we're going to have this huge demand, we're going to, as an industry, have to migrate to mining lower grade bulk bulk tonnage type deposits. And, you know, the copper mining industry went through the exact same shift back in the 1950s. Previously, we only mined very high-grade copper veins and massive sulfide volcanogenic deposits. Now, or for the last 60, 70 years, the mining industry has mined porphyry copper deposits all the way around the Pacific Rim and other places. These are very large, weakly mineralized bodies of rock that have disseminated copper sulfides. And they're mined very, very profitably all over the world and have been for decades. And there was probably naysayers back in the 50s and 60s. The industry migrated that way. There's naysayers right now, oh, these things will never be mined, but I think they will. I think they're the next generation of nickel deposits to be mined. I don't think there's any choice, really. Yeah, so on top of that, to answer the other part of your question about the major company strategic investors that Canada Nickel has seen come in, you know, these companies are smart. They don't just invest millions without thinking about it, and I think they've seen the future too. They know that they're going to have to develop these large tonnage, bulk tonnage deposits in order to meet the demand. And so for Canada Nickel, it was great to see Samsung, an end user of the nickel product, come in, battery manufacturer, amongst other things. Anglo American had already invested in that company. They're a big nickel producer, and I think they see the future. But surprisingly to me, and a real vote of confidence for Canada Nickel was the investment by Agnico Eagle Gold Mines. You know, a pure gold company must have been quite compelled by Canada's nickel story. And yeah, I think big mining companies like Glencore, BHP, and others have realized that this is the next generation, it is the future of nickel mining. But what they're realizing is to find the deposits, they're having to come quite far down the pipe to find projects. Canada Nickel just published their feasibility study a few months ago, so they're several years ahead of us. You know, we're already getting interest from strategic investors.
Well, with the forecast prices that they could return back to 20,000 per ton by the end of 2024, you know, I hope that everyone's right and more strategic investors come in. So I've had the pleasure of meeting you and your team twice now, and I think for our investor following that's interested, one of the best things I personally like about your company and the story is the team in place. I think that's a massive part of your success and how you guys have moved so quickly forward. Can you tell investors where they can reach out to you? I know you're on the road a lot, Greg, where they can find you at the next conference or presentation, and then anything for social medias or where else they can reach out to you.
Yeah, sure, I'd be glad to. But just to circle back to your comment, Callie, about nickel price and, you know, how we hope it's higher. You know, the reality is that we're quite a number of years away from a decision to mine or even an application for permits or anything like that. Today's price really has nothing to do with the project, but it's always easier to raise the capital when there's buoyancy. But to me, it's really a contrarian play. I mean, I look at investors in the mining business, and one great thing about it is that it's cyclical. If it's down, it's going to go up one day if you stick it out and keep investing at low levels. And, you know, recently investors in uranium stocks have been very well rewarded. They picked away at uranium stocks over the last 6 years. Suddenly, almost overnight, they realized a 30% profit. And if they're still holding today, you know, they've probably doubled on a lot of their holdings. Lithium has made money for people over the last year, though it's come off now. All of a sudden, one day the price of nickel will rise dramatically and nickel stocks will take off. But, you know, we're just getting started. The share price is, quite reasonable. If I was a small stock investor, it'd be, good to pick up a few shares here and there. We're very available. I'm glad to talk to current and potential future shareholders anytime if they want more information. They can easily go on our website. It's easy to find, and it's easy to request information or request a direct meeting with any of our team.
Greg, your wealth of information on nickel and the Alaska Energy Metals Project, thank you so much. In closing, do you want to share some remarks with current shareholders and then potential investors in the junior space that are following the Alaska Energy Metals story?
Yeah, sure. I'm very grateful for all of our current shareholders. They've supported us in this, and we look forward to making them a lot of money. For those that buy in anytime now, they should do well. I can't promise it, but they should do well. You know, we've got a lot of catalysts that can move the share price up. We can look at Canada Nickel and FPX and other peers that count their market capitalization in the hundreds of millions, while ours is just at 30. I know we're going to catch up. Small investment now could pay off.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. This was a fantastic interview, and we hope to have you again on the show.
Well, it'll be my pleasure, Kelly. We've got news coming, and so we should circle back and have another talk to review the progress that's coming soon.
Well, that does it for today's Exploring Mining podcast. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor for this podcast, please contact investorideas.com. InvestorIdeas.com reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the InvestorIdeas.com website. All investment involves risk, and this podcast is not meant to be an endorsement to buy or sell securities or products. To hear more podcasts, you can go to InvestorIdeas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can also hear our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeart.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.
For disclosure purposes, Alaska Energy Metals is a featured client on Investor Ideas, and this podcast may contain forward-looking statements.